Some of you might have heard in the news last night about Damascus was under attack. And here's why it's so important. In the book of Isaiah, he prophesies that right before the coming of the Lord, Damascus will be destroyed. Okay, I don't say the Lord's coming tomorrow, next week, but the signs of the times are here. We're living in perilous times, and it's not time to play church or to play games with God. And I think most of you are serious about serving the Lord, and that's why you're here. But it's just a reckoning of that in American culture, sometimes we get caught up into the activities that we do, which are important and necessary. But sometimes we have a tendency to lose our first love and get caught up into going to this activity and fixing the car and doing the lawn and painting the house, and you know the drill. And so I admonish you to check your heart and just find out, hey, where's my priority in life? Okay? Amen. So like Joe said, this course is user-friendly. You can take notes. You can answer questions. You can follow along. The best thing is, it's yours to keep. You can take it home with you, and I encourage you to study. Most of the systems of religion, they put money, people put money in an offering, and they expect a man to come teach them, and they go home and don't do anything. Okay? It's kind of, we'll let the preacher tell us what we need to do. This ain't that, like Joe has a teaching on that. This is for give you information for you to study to show yourself approved so that you might fulfill the purpose and calling of God in your life, not for somebody else to do it for you. Okay? All right. The purpose of this course, like I said, is to exhort you to have a hunger. We will go through some things in Hebrew like Kyle did. This is not a course on the Hebraic language and the letters. We're working on that in the future. The Hebrew is such a fascinating study because our Bibles were originally written in Hebrew and recorded in Greek, not in English. And whenever you take things from one language to go to another language, you have a tendency to lose the value of the words. They don't mean things that much anymore, you know? And I'll give you an example. We understand that the Messiah says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, that word bread in the Hebrew, it can mean your sustenance, but it can also be translated as your struggles. Because in Hebrew, it's action-oriented. And it's through the process of planting a seed, the seed dying, the grain being grashed up to make bread. It's the struggle for the process of the wheat to become bread. And so what Messiah was saying was, we're not going to continue to live by all of our struggles, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is important for us to understand what these words mean that come out of the mouth of God. Amen? Okay, and we'll use some overhead. Let's see here. You got the first one, Kyle? Yeah. Okay, this is out of Isaiah, and I'll read it and then I'll speak about it. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. In the Hebrew, it reads like this, declaring out of the beginning the end. Because Hebrew teaching is cyclical, okay? Everything, all the major doctrines in Scripture are recorded in the first few chapters of Genesis in the original Hebrew. So we're going to go back to the book of Genesis a lot today, and we're going to teach you some things that set patterns for the rest of Scripture. And that's what Isaiah said, out of the beginning, God reveals the end. And in Hebrew, there are two tenses. There's a perfect tense and an imperfect tense. In English, there's past, present, and future, okay? In Hebrew, the future is determined by the context of the tense. And I was thinking the other day, if there's no actual future tense in Hebrew, unless you read from the context, then a lot of prophetic teachers are teaching things about the future without understanding the Hebrew teaching is cyclical. And they say, well, the front's been done away with. And that's very erroneous. Okay? So, I'm going to read along. I'm going to share some things. And you have your manuals there. And the first question is that words mean things. But most often, the culture we live in dictates how we interpret the meaning of words. To properly understand the text of Scripture, we need to know what the words would have meant to the people who first heard them. Most people read the Bible as if it were written to them out of their present culture and context. Words mean things. When I was a young boy in elementary school, we used to have this little saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. Okay? Yes, it is. Okay, so the Hebrew word transliterated to word is devar. Now, in the Hebrew language, like Kyle was mentioning, every letter has a pictographic meaning and a word meaning behind it and a numerical value. So very quickly, the word devar is word. It has the two-letter parent root, which is the D and the R, which is the dalet and the resh in Hebrew. And it means to bring to order. When it's used as a noun, it has a V, which is a bet in Hebrew that can be used as a boy or a vet, depending upon the context. It's a picture of the house. DVR is actually the Hebrew word translated in a lot of places as speech. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe. That's the male version. The female connotation of devar is devarah. You put the A-H on the back of it and it turns it into feminine. So what do I mean by masculine and feminine? It depends upon the functions of the male and the functions of the female as to which way this word is being used. Devarah, the pictographic meaning is a bee, a honeybee. We've all read about the judge Deborah in the book of Judges. That's the feminine sound of devar. And it's interesting that the bee produces honey. We understand the land of milk and honey because the bees do a dance to show people, show the bees where the food source is. And that is a pictographic meaning of it, devar, devarah. So in Jeremiah, question two, and I'm sorry, we need to learn to seek and study. We have the next verse? Yeah. Okay, this is Messiah speaking. I'm sorry. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life. The reason we study the scriptures is to understand the life of the Messiah. And we can have life within ourselves. Not just to have a bunch of head knowledge, but to understand what they speak about the life he came to offer us. It is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. Let's go to the next one, Kyle. The Psalms. Okay, so out of Psalms 9, the Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That word forsaken is marriage talk. And forsaking all others. The Messiah wants a bride. Okay? He does not divorce himself from those who seek him. That word seek is a darash. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It means to seek, to study, to initially inquire, to follow after. It doesn't mean he's lost. It means you need to study these things. Okay? And seek and study are cognitive words. The word study means to have to be devoted to. And so in Jeremiah, we see it says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's not on the screen. Some of it's in your manual, folks. Okay. So the word for heart is lev, spelled L-E-V. When we recite the Shema, what is the first thing we put an emphasis on? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. There it is. Heart in Hebrew, it comes from a two-letter root, the lamech and the bet, which transliterated means the authority that's inside a house. And whose house are we? We're the Messiah's house. The lamech, it comes from a shepherd's crook. It's like where we get our ale from. They would lead the sheep around with a crook. And it developed into the English letter L. The bet is the first letter in Hebrew, which is a picture of a tent. And it can be used either as a bet or a vet, depending upon the context. So this means the inside of the house. That means to be led about by the inside of the house, which is what the heart is. It's like Kyle said, it's all a heart issue. Okay? It's God's after our hearts, folks. Okay, let's see here. Okay, go to the next verse, Kyle. The book of Acts. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I want to focus on that word examining. It is the Greek word anakrimo, and it has several meanings. It can mean to examine, it can mean to investigate, it can mean to ask questions or to judge, or it can mean to decide. That's why it's so important to study the root meaning of words, because the people who translate these Bibles into English use whatever they thought best fits the context. But if they don't have a Hebraic background, sometimes they might not choose the best word. And so you find a wealth of information by finding out, by studying and seeking. So I want to explain to you for a second the distinction between East and Western thinking. When I say Eastern or Hebraic thinking, I'm speaking of the land of Israel and Jerusalem specifically. Anything from the west of Jerusalem is called Western thinking. That's where Greece is. That's where Rome is. America is considered a Western nation. And these are two different thought processes, two different cultures, two different lifestyles, two different ways to look at life, and two different ways to understand Scripture. The Scriptures were not written from a Greco-Roman mindset. They're written from a Hebraic Eastern mindset. Okay? And so in Proverbs, we see it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Now that word glory in the Hebrew is kavod. And what it's saying is, the word for matter is the same word as devar, the same word for word. So what the writer of Proverbs is saying, it is the true nature of God to conceal a word, but is the true nature of kings to search out a word. Now you would think, now why is God trying to hide something from me? And he's not. God does not give us what we do not search for or what we do not want. I am not a fatalistic person. Que sarah, sarah. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. I don't believe in that. I believe that we work together with the Lord and bring things to come to pass, okay? So if you're not searching for God in God's kingdom, then you're not going to be. God's not going to reveal it to you. It's just that simple. And that's the true nature of things. In Hebraic thought, it is proper to ask questions, to initiate discussion and dialogue. In Greek thought, they ask questions to try to prove somebody right and somebody else wrong, like Kyle was talking about. That's where the Greek debates came from. I'm not trying to find out who's right and who's wrong. I'm trying to find out what's right and what's wrong. Okay, the emphasis is not personal, it's for seeking for truth. And we ask questions for this, and there are examples of this in your study guide. Adam, where are you? What must I do to be saved? You know, these are questions meant to initiate discussion and dialogue. So we're going to talk about the mind of the Messiah. Let me see, go to the next verse, I'm sorry. This is out of Timothy. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We are to present ourselves as a workman, okay, that we study to show ourselves approved. What's the next verse, brother? Yeah, back to the mind. This is a New American Standard. I really like the King James Version. So what kind of mind did the Messiah have? He said, have this mind in you, or this attitude, that was also in Messiah Yeshua. Go ahead. This is out of Genesis. Then the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? So the word for soul in the Hebrew is nephesh. Okay, it has the nun and the shin. The nun represents life. The shin represents teeth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay. Nakash represents the serpent. They are related words. Both have the noon and the shin in there. It depends upon the context of what one is speaking. Okay, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification. Okay? So these are related words, nephesh and nakash, the soul and the serpent. I guess you could almost write a book on that. Okay. So what kind of mind does Messiah have? When Adam was created in perfection. Because of the fall, because he sinned, his mind became darkened, it talks about in Ephesians. And they were darkened in their understanding. Okay? He began to rely on his own experiences rather than what he heard from the Lord to live his life. The Messiah came to restore all things, which is part of the restoration process, is our thinking, our thought process. But we have to understand the words that he is speaking to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I cannot communicate with you if you don't understand what words I'm using. And God can't either. Then you start making stuff up when you don't understand what he's saying. And that's where a lot of error comes into the churches. They don't, I got no idea, and they start making stuff up. It's crazy. So what does the mindset of a person determine? You either have a biblical world or a worldview. You can't have both. We are in the world, but not of the world. Okay? And all of life begins with a seed. I'm sorry, this is back to referring to Adam. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. When Adam fell, he became a mortal, a natural man. Okay? And natural men, people who think just according to their own fallen nature, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Matter of fact, people think you're crazy when you talk about spiritual truths, and they're living in a natural level. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. So I'm going to talk about seeds for a minute. And in the King James Version, it uses the male gender. It says, after his kind. So seed is zerah. Kyle mentioned this a few minutes ago. Zerah, and it's a related word to zakar. Zakar, and we'll get back in a few minutes later, is the Hebrew word translated from male, because a male has a seed. It's also, zakar is also translated in your Bibles as to remember, to be reminded, or memorial. And you would say, that just doesn't make any sense. And it didn't to me until I understood the Hebrew, because the male is to speak and act on behalf of others. But the English translators translate as to remember, as to be brought back to thought, like he forgot something. But Hebrew is an action language. We are to speak and act on behalf of others, which Adam did not do. And so in that context, under the New Testament, we read that God will remember their sins no more. God hadn't forgot them. He's not speaking and acting on behalf of our sin nature. It doesn't mean we don't have sin. It means we don't focus on it. And it's interesting to me that you have people in the systems of religion that think the Torah has been done away with, which sin through the knowledge of the sin comes out, the law comes knowledge of sin. They don't believe in the law, and every week they're going up there to be prayed for their sins. It's absurd. Okay, so the law of like kind, that seed will produce after its own kind. Let me see. Hang on a second. All right. Were you at Genesis 2:16? Okay, yeah. The Lord God commanded, from any tree of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Okay, you can go to the next one, brother. Now the man had relations with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Okay, we'll stop right there a second. So what happens is, the knowledge of good and evil, the Hebrew word for to know is yada. It means to have sex with, to be intimate with, to share my understanding of reality with somebody else. And the distinction between yada and da'at. Da'at is the Hebrew word for knowledge. It's not wrong to have knowledge. Where we miss the mark is God wants us to have the knowledge we have taken from our relationship with him. But Adam chose to not say anything. Eve took up what he didn't do and started adding to the word of God. And so man began to live by their own experiences, which produces death. Okay? That's diet. Knowledge. If you take diet and you bring it into the Latin, it goes to daemon and actually into the word demon. I'm not saying it's all in everybody's heads, but demonic activity begins in the mind. Okay? When people begin to do things their own way and not do things the way the Lord wants them to do it, you okay, dear? They begin to have a demonic influence in their lives, and they're not fully following the Lord. There's only a remnant that's going to be saved, folks. Okay? A remnant is not mass salvation. A remnant is a small number. And like I said earlier, with the things going on in the world today, it's time for us to be careful and cautious about what our priorities are. Amen? Amen. So, let's see. Yeah, go ahead, give me Matthew. So this is the Messiah in the New Testament saying, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then he will declare to them, I never yadad you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or Torahlessness. How tragic to think that all your life you think you were doing the right thing, and you stand in front of the Messiah one day and he says, I didn't have a relationship with you, so I don't know you. Leave me. And forever doesn't end, folks. Forever just doesn't end. Amen? All right. Okay, Kyle, let's go to the next one. Out of Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is important as long as we receive it from the right source. The word father is often be translated as source or sustainer or supplier. So we need to get our information from him, because if you don't, they'll be destroyed. Because they choose not to take their source from him, they have rejected his knowledge. He will reject them from being his priest, and they have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. Go to the next one, Kyle. Yeah. It's okay. Now, the serpent was more crafty. No, we okay. I'm tracking with you. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And go to the 3-4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. So we need to understand the attack of the serpent was upon the information that was given in the garden. Eve did not get the information. The information was given to Adam, the male, who was to speak and act on behalf of his wife. And because he didn't say anything, Eve was deceived. So we have the sin of Adam, the transgression of Adam, because he's a man's responsibility to take care of his family, and he's supposed to protect his wife, who is to be his helpmate. And so the line of attack was either the wrong information or no information at all. Let's see. Let's go to 3:15, Kyle. Yeah, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. That word enmity is extreme hatred or hostility. Whenever you try make an attempt to live for God, I promise you, my friend, you will come up against resistance from a lot of people, especially religious people. They won't understand what you're talking about, and they have very little interest other than to prove their point from a great perspective. I'm not trying to prove what's right. I'm trying to follow the Lamb. But you will receive resistance, but the resistance that you receive is built to develop your character. It's not given to you to cause you to fall and fail. That's why all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So whenever you receive trouble, tribulation, pressure, that's coming from the enemy and not from God, but God will use it to develop you. Okay? Let's see here. Kyle, I think it's Luke. Yeah. Now, this is out of the book of Luke where the Messiah is speaking. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay? The Zerah, the seed is the word of God, and that's where the persecutions come from, because of the word's sake. So the number one battleground in the world today is a battle for the mind. Because if people can control your thought life, they can control your behavior and your actions and your life. I know we hear a lot today about Korea and Iraq and Iran and the bomb stuff, and all that's got its place. But really, when people begin to program your thinking, they will control how you act. That's why it's so dangerous, or you need to be careful about the kind of information you take in. And I'm not against TV. I got a giant one, okay? But they call it programming. You're being programmed for certain things, okay? What's the next verse? Yeah, this is out of 2 Corinthians, where Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, speaking of the mind. And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are dying or perishing, in whose case the god of this world, Hasatan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of the true nature of Messiah, who is the image of God. And so a person's mind becomes blind. Okay, because a lot of people choose not to see, and a lot of people just can't see at all. That's why we are called to be a light to others, to kind of open their understanding. When you receive directions to go somewhere, especially the men, say, oh yeah, I see, now I get it. It means a light went off. Not that you're physically seeing things, but you comprehend and understand it. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you shall see the kingdom of God. Not that you're going to heaven, but that you comprehend and understand the ways of God. Okay, brother, let's go to the next one. This is out of Genesis again. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go to the next one, Kyle. This is out of the Psalms. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We take our information from one of two sources, folks, either from the tree of life or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Hebrew word for counsel is the same as the Hebrew word for tree, etz, E-T-S. And it's in the feminine because of a woman produces, etzah. So depending upon the kind of fruit you're eating, which has a seed in it, that's the kind of information you're taking in, and that's how you'll live your lives. God says, don't walk in the etz or the tree of the wicked. A lot of times we consider wicked as people who are out there shooting people and killing people and having abortions and stuff, and that is evil. Let me tell you what God considers wicked. When God develops something for his purpose, let me use this as an example. Let's say I'm God for demonstration purposes, and I make this big cake, this big bowl to bake a cake. And I take that bowl and I break it. I destroy the purpose for which it was created. That's what God calls wicked. You and I were created for a purpose. And by your choice, if you destroy the purpose that you were created for, God calls that wickedness. Okay? So there's kind of this Greek thinking about, well, the people out there killing people, they're sure evil. That's right. But the scriptures don't deal with the people out in the world. They deal with God's children. Okay? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So we need to put things in context. It's not everybody else, it's I. Isaiah used to say, oh, woe, woe is you, and woe is you, and woe is you, until he had a revelation of the Lord. Then he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm undone. Judgment begins at the house of God, folks. Okay, search yourselves. The Torah was not given to save us from spiritual death. The Torah was given to us to teach us how to live here upon the earth. When Israel left Egypt, they didn't write scripture on the doorposts. They put blood on there. It's always been the blood that delivers from spiritual death. After being delivered from spiritual death, they went to the mountain and they received the Torah, or the instructions of God, to teach them how to live an abundant life. So that's where people get mixed up. They think if they keep a bunch of laws, they're not going to hell. That's not even what it's talking about. Okay? So let's see, the next scripture is from James, I think. Yeah. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is not speaking of the world. It's speaking of the church, folks, or the assembly. A double-minded man who speaks out of both sides of his mouth. The Indians have a saying, I speak with a forked tongue. I can't speak out of the tree of life one time and out of the tree of knowledge of good and, knowledge of good and evil another time. Yes, we're in a process of growing and going, okay? This is not to be a judgmental thing. We're all in different places. But we have to have a goal set that we want to hear God. I remember when I went through a rough time several years ago, the Lord showed me that living for God and listening to God is like listening to a radio station. And I had that dial right on that station, man, that would come in through loud and clear. If that dial was off the station a little bit, I'd hear some broadcast, I'd hear some static. If the dial wasn't on the station at all, I wouldn't hear anything. The Messiah says, my sheep know my voice. Yada. We are intimate with him because we're tuned into what he's saying to us. And we speak with one voice, which is what unity is all about. All right. Let's go to the next one. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. Remember, the serpent told the woman, God said you can't eat from any tree of the garden. But God told Adam, you can't eat from any tree of the garden. God gave him a choice. But because Adam didn't fulfill his purpose, he was wicked, he transgressed the law of God, his wife was deceived and added to the word of God, as we'll see in a few minutes. Let me see the Genesis 1:3. Go to the next one, please. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And we just said, well, God said he could eat from any tree of the garden. Keep on going, brother. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. God never said they couldn't touch it. That was Eve adding to the scriptures because Adam did not fulfill his purpose as the priest of his house. That sets a pattern for religion throughout the rest of scripture when people add to or take away from the word of God, because that way you can't go to the word to verify truth. You have to go to them. It's a manner of domination and controlling other people. Okay? That word touch means to have a close association with. Touch not the unclean things of the world. Kyle spoke about the woman with leprosy who had the issue of blood being touched. It doesn't mean I can't go up and shake her hand. It means if I'm married in covenant marriage, I'm not to have a close relationship with another woman. Basically is what it's saying, folks, okay? And anything else in the world. All right. Okay. Let me see, Genesis 3:13? Yeah. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay, I'm going to wind this thing down here. The word deceive means to be deceived with owing an obligation to. And I spoke about that a few minutes ago. When religious people teach you things and they deceive you, whether on purpose or whether not, then you have to, you owe them an obligation. You have to go to them to verify what they're saying is true. Let's talk about the ways of man. And I'll start bringing this to a close pretty soon. So, let's look at Proverbs 14:12. Yeah. I'm sorry. You don't look at Proverbs? Okay, y'all bear with us, folks. We're kind of new to all this and trying to get it all to straighten out. Oh, something else. I'm sorry. Yeah. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the end result is death. The things about these scriptures, what's not up there is all in your notes. Some of it's up there that's not in your notes you might just want to take notice of. And so there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end result is death, which amplifies what Adam was doing and what other people doing. When you talk to them about things about God, well, who cares? This is what I want. The self-will comes into play, and it produces death in our life. So the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In the Bible, Kyle brought this up. Blindness is from God's perspective, is a person who does things their own way. The natural is a picture of the spiritual. When Jesus healed the blind man, he was healing a physically blind person, but it represents a deeper issue of people who are doing things their own way. That's why Isaiah, said, we're to be a light to the nations, to open up blind eyes, it says in Luke. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and from those who dwell in darkness and prison. Okay? So what controls our behavior? Our minds control our behavior. And it is imperative that we put an emphasis on studying the Bible from a Hebraic perspective so we can know and understand and hear what the Lord is saying to us. Let's go to the last book. That's out of Luke, yeah. We'll go ahead and skip that because of the time. No. Do you have the Bible, the Hebrew book up there? Yeah, this is in your notes, folks. If the Bible is the book of life, it becomes imperative for us to know more about what the message of life is than what is going on in our culture. In order to do this, we must understand the Word of God from the words that God uses. Otherwise, there will be confusion in every evil thing. Like I said, people start to make stuff up when they don't understand what they're studying. Okay? Now, I want to close with this, and then if you have a few minutes, we'll open up for some questions and answers for a few minutes. This is an encouragement for you to know, understand why, another reason why you need to study the Scriptures. In Colossians, Paul wrote this, he, speaking of the Messiah, is before all things, and in him all things consist. Those words, all things held together, I'm reading from the King James Version. Things held together, things consist. When it's taken back to the Hebrew, it's a word for command, zavat, like bar mitzvot. So the command is what holds everything together, including me and your cell structure. If you take a cell, a human cell, under a microscope, scientists will tell you that 99% of it they can't see what's holding it together. They call it atomic glue. Okay? In the book of John, 1 John, it says, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In the book of Hebrews, it says, he holds all things together by the word of his power. When we study the word of God from a Hebraic perspective, it actually brings health and healing to our physical cells and our bodies. Okay? And so that's why another reason why it's so important to study to show yourself approved.